And peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It started out as a cabin in the woods, basically. In the woods by a lake. Just a rectangular building. Didn't have any windows, had screens. And when the residents weren't there, there were pieces of plywood that lowered down and simply sealed it off. When they were there, there were hooks that held the plywood up in the air to allow the air to flow. Now, you might think that I'm talking about some place in northern Minnesota or northern Wisconsin, but this is actually northern New Jersey, believe it or not. For those of you who have never been there, what you find in the northwest corner of New Jersey are really a plethora of lakes for such a small state. And it was more rural than it is now. But all those cabins that existed have been converted now into single-family homes, pretty much, and I was getting ready to purchase one. And so as I stood there looking at the house, the one thing I noticed was there was moss on the roof. Now, my wife looked at it and she thought it was quite quaint. Moss on the roof. I looked at it and I said, that roof's going to leak. And I was right. So the first rainstorm, there was a single leak in the roof, and it stayed that way for a couple of months until I'd finally decided I was going to break down and put a new roof on. Now, there are things in life that we approach with a certain amount of practical experience, and there are other things in life that we approach with theory in mind. Re-roofing a house after I found out how much it cost to have professionals come in to do it was a theory that was going to be set into action. I was going to do this. It turned into something of an Amish barn raising, as it were. We had met a couple of people in the lake, and as it turned out, word got around that I was going to be doing this roofing project, and lo and behold, about 14 people showed up, which was great. Problem was, nobody had done a roof before. We all knew how to do a roof if it was simply a flat surface going from the base up to the peak. But it's when you got into those valleys that it was an issue that nobody was really quite sure how to do this. There entered Doug, the philosopher. So Doug comes up, climbs onto the roof carrying a book. Time Life book. A Time Life book on how to re-roof your house. And he sat there thumbing through the book till he got to the point that talked about how to weave shingles in a valley. And that's what he did. For the next 2 days, on the seven valleys that existed in this house, he carefully wove the shingles together over top of the underlayment we had placed in the valley as extra protection. And aesthetically, there was only one mistake. And that roof never, ever leaked. Now, Doug was a philosopher, very interesting guy. He ran a printing and distribution facility for the Deluxe Check Company. Doug's philosophy was always that there were never problems in the world, only opportunities. Which is really interesting because I always thought there were problems in the world, and I would say there was a problem, and Doug would just say, no, that's really an opportunity. Now, the one thing I didn't tell you because I got ahead of myself in the story was Doug was from my congregation in New Jersey, and he came up to help. And so what I would look at in the world as being a problem, something that was going to cause me all kinds of consternation, Doug just would say, well, it's an opportunity for growth, an opportunity for learning. And he was right. Because it was those problems that we encountered, those situations where things didn't quite go the way where we wanted them to go in life, that we find out that we can learn. And we can grow from these things. That's exactly what Doug did. After a few years being in New Jersey, it ended up that Deluxe wanted to consolidate, and so they were shutting down their New Jersey operations and moving it either to St. Louis or Minneapolis, I believe, and he decided he didn't want to go. His wife had a good job, and he felt he could get something else, and they weren't really enamored with being able to move since their kids were all right there in New Jersey. So he began to look for work, which isn't a bad thing unless you happen to be overqualified at the age of 55 where nobody's hiring somebody that old because it's really not worth it for a company to do so. But he did find a job. He found a job working for a telecom company. I think Quest was the company. That one played out after about a year when Quest decided to consolidate their operations and eventually went belly up. And so then he got a job working with Easter Seals of New Jersey, running one of their plants. And then they consolidated. And at that point, Doug said, well, really isn't much of a point. But you know, the amazing thing is that he took all of these things in stride in terms of understanding them truly to be opportunities where God was calling him to move on to somewhere else. To be able to see them not as a situation that's a problem, but a situation that was truly an opportunity for him to learn and to grow and to move on to something else. Now they say in life, the five biggest stressors in life are, we'll see if I can remember these now, death of a loved one, moving, major illness, job loss, and number five is children? No. That's an ongoing stress. Oh, goodness. Divorce. Yeah, thank you. So, Doug's philosophy with that was that life's filled with stress. Not only those five things, but a lot of other things that take place within life are all kind of stressful situations. And he said, stress isn't the problem. Doug's philosophy was that it's when you allow stress to become distress that you have problems. The one thing that involves those five stresses in life all have to do with change. And you know how well Lutherans love change. But it really just isn't Lutherans, it's human nature if you think about it. Nobody really wants to change because within those changes, we find ourselves challenged to things that we might not have considered before. We find within those changes these opportunities that we really don't necessarily want. But if we approach them with the understanding that they truly are opportunities, then great and amazing things can truly happen within our lives. If you look at all three lessons today, the one thing, and I thank Phil Pomeroy for this, because guys in the Bible study, he emailed me later on with this, is all three of these lessons involve change. Jonah didn't want the change and the responsibility of going to the people of Nineveh. He'd just as soon stay home, mind his own business, and certainly didn't want to go to the town where he didn't like the people and the people there didn't really like him. That fish that ended up sucking up Jonah in the story probably was just going about life thinking, well, I'm just going to swim here for a while and hope nobody catches me with a net. And had no understanding that his change in life was going to be sucking in human beings. In the second lesson, it's all about the change that takes place in terms of what Paul was talking about with everyday life. That these newfound Christians within this community are no longer simply to worry about the things of the world that go on with their jobs and with their husbands and wives and their children and their houses and everything else, but rather they're supposed to be understanding that their lives have changed with the presence of Christ and that those things really don't matter as much as they used to. That if you center Christ there in the middle of your world, that ends up being the thing you focus on and are concerned about. And then our four fishing friends, going to work, minding their own business, and suddenly finding themselves filled with those words of, follow me. And off they go, their lives totally changed with this new venture of following this itinerant preacher. When we take seriously those words, that admonition of Christ, follow me, or the invitation that one of his followers might place before us in terms of come and see, what we have is that opportunity for change that really makes our life something that it's never been before. Because if we seriously follow Christ, if we take on that call to follow me as Christ places it before us, what we find is our lives change, our attitudes change, our vision of what our world is supposed to be, that all changes. Because when we follow Christ, what we find is there are opportunities for life and growth beyond measure. There are ways that we look at the world that we hadn't before. Our understanding of what we're supposed to be doing with ourselves, how we're supposed to be helping other people, how we're supposed to be sharing our loves, the financial decisions that we make, what we do with our time, all of those things change if we seriously look at what Christ says with follow me. Because you see, with those four disciples, those four fishermen, it wasn't just simply a matter of walking behind Jesus and go, okay, we're following you, let's go, come on, where are we going now, boss, come on. It was a matter of understanding that following Jesus was following his teachings, following his love, following his understanding, following everything that he offered into the world to be able to make a difference within the world they lived. Following Jesus is about following all of those things that he's laid out before us. All of those words, all of those teachings, all of those understandings that we find in the gospel are laid out there for us to understand exactly what following Jesus is about. Because when we follow Jesus, we don't follow our hearts. We follow God's. And when we follow that heart of God, we follow in God's love, placing our needs to the side and looking for ways in which we can serve, looking for ways in which we can help, looking for ways in which we can love. Looking for ways in which we can change the world in which we live. Because when Christ says, follow me, he's not inviting us to the show. He's inviting us to be part of the show. To be able to understand all of those challenges that are before us aren't challenges at all. rather opportunities. Opportunities to grow in love. Opportunities to serve other people. Opportunities to learn and understand that in what we give, God returns to us sevenfold the things that we've never expected within our lives. Opportunities to grow in love and faith. Opportunities to truly allow the change that we experience to change the lives of people around us. When we truly take on and accept that invitation to follow me, then we begin to understand that change isn't a bad thing at all. That the change that Christ offers to us is a change that not only changes and improves this world, but it is a change that greatly enhances and improves the quality of who we are and the lives that we live. Let us all together come and follow Jesus. And to be able to take on those challenges within this world, seeing these opportunities that have been laid before us. Opportunities to truly be children of God. Amen.